Lord bless you. I'll be doing tonight's teaching. Really going to focus on Judah and his transformation, because Judah starts off. You guys ever heard of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? What if I say the Lion of the Tribe of Judas? You heard of Judas Iscariot?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He betrayed our Lord and Savior. Betrayed
Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Judah is the same as Judas. It's the same name. So if somebody said Judas or the Lion of...
Judas.
Judas. Judas is what they call Judah. So Jorge, George, is what the Greeks call it. But Judas sold Jesus Christ. And that is actually and he sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Judah sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Sold him into slavery. And E.W. Bulwer has a neat teaching on it. He talks about 10, what's significant about the number 20 in the Bible is it's 10 short of 30. 30 is a perfect number. So Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ. And Judah was a type of Judas. But Judas is going to turn into like a Joseph. Do you guys remember the story of Joseph? What got him in trouble the first?
Bragging.
Not bragging.
Bragging. His fault.
What did he do?
Just tell his dreams.
He had dreams. Now, a lot of teachers will make fun of Joseph and say he should not have told the dreams. The scriptures don't say that. He tells his brother, I saw a dream, and I believe one was these sheaves like grass, and everybody was bowing down to me. He didn't say me, though. He said there was 11 bowing down to the one, and they went, so this little, it'd be like Melania saying all of us are going to bow down to her. And his brothers hated him for it. And then he saw another dream about the stars, 11 stars, and the moon and the sun bowing down to him. And then his father rebukes him. But then his father was watching. You could see, because his father had Holy Spirit. His father's going, because sometimes somebody can say something that's very offensive. But then you start thinking about it a day or two later. And you're like, because it says in the scriptures his father was watching. What could this mean? Joseph said those things, and because he said those things, what happened to him? He got sold into slavery. Did he do anything wrong?
No.
No, he didn't do anything wrong. But all of his family, his brothers, are going to bow down to him. It was the prophecy. I can't relate to Joseph. I'm not a prophet. I'm not anything like Joseph. I'm not like Abraham. I'm not like Moses. I'm not like Jacob or Israel. I might be like that Israel a little bit, but not. I can't relate to those guys. But I can relate to a Judah who's made stupid mistakes. Why did Judas Iscariot sell Jesus Christ? What was it for? Envy is what we believe. Envy. Or some people say jealousy, but in English the real word is envy. Who did Jesus Christ call up to the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John, because they were rising up. And Judas, it would appear, it was envy. Judah sold Joseph. Why? Envy. I'm going to work for you. And here's his envy. Satan fell because of what?
Envy.
Envy. Okay. So Judah is going to start off like a Judas and possibly like a Satan. Envy, he's going to fall. But you know how he's going to end up? And I did not know this until about 2 hours ago when I was on my knees. The end of Judah's life in the scriptures says your brethren are going to bow down to you. Your brethren will bow down to you. Why is that significant? Judah sold Joseph because Joseph said your brethren are going to bow down to you. Or to him. But Judah transforms, and by the end of the book, I think it's Genesis 37, he completely transforms. You completely transform. You are like one of the most rebellious, not rebellious, but you just, if I said left, you went right. If your mom says no, you'd say yes. You wouldn't do it to your dad. And it wasn't, you weren't like when he was a little niño, it wasn't like he was trying to pick fights or something. Yeah. He just had a real problem with people telling him what to do. His older brother, Elijah, is a very good follower of instructions and doing things right. But Isaiah, I was a little worried about this guy. He's going to be in a lot of trouble. I was like that too. Until we went camping, and I said, you guys want to go camping again? Don't do what I used to do. I used to complain whenever we had to clean up at the last day of ranch. Or when we go camp, you start complaining, you got to do all this work. I said, if you want to do something, you want to show me that you really want to go camping again. Be the most competitive at cleaning. And if all the people, she's like Elijah, approval, not rebelling is very important. I would have thought Elijah and Melania would have cleaned everything up. That guy cleaned everything. He transformed. He made a choice.
Yeah.
And now look what he's been doing. Serving. You were born with a rebellious type nature. I can relate. Now you rebel against Satan. Yeah. And you serve. And so you made a choice. So did Judah. And so, but Judah transformed to that. The end of it. Who tells Judah your brethren are going to bow down to you? No. Yahweh does. How do you think that felt to Judah? Because Yahweh says, not only are your brother going to bow down to you, Jesus Christ is going to come from you. Veronica's screensaver says the lion, Leon, of the tribe of Judah. And he's one of the most famous of the 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. Judah.
Yeah.
Benjamin a little bit. He's in a trouble. Why they do a lot. But there's Judah. But that was a transformation. But the story, the teaching is not necessarily on Judah, but transformations like Isaiah's transformation, like Israel's transformation, my transformation. In my own life, there was a time that I was not rebelling like Judah. I was doing everything right for the most part. I'm not sinning. I'm serving. I'm reading the Word. I'm memorizing Scripture. I'm working. I'm giving. I'm serving. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a horrible situation. It looked so lonely. It looked like it was the end of the world. In my own mind, you imagine what it was for whatever you're going to lose everything. And so a lot of times, you're going to lose everything you love, possibly. What do you value the most? Your family or whatnot? And here I was, and mine was good. Finances. I've been giving and doing all this discipline. I come straight to you, and you provide for me, but now I'm looking, and now this isn't going to work anymore. And with myself, I'm like stressing out. This isn't supposed to happen. When you're obedient, things should get easier. There's reward for being obedient, was my thinking. Don't be like me. Learn from my mistake. And so here's where my mistake was. So finally, I resorted to vent. I got down on my knees. Okay, here's what the problem is. I have been faithful. I've done this. But my face was down. I was not doing this. I was crushed. I've been doing everything right for you. And now it looks like my business, my house, everything could be gone just like this. And I didn't tell anybody about this, but this is what I was going through, possibly losing everything. I went down on my knees, and after I spoke it, slowly he spoke to me. You gave me a prophecy that Yahweh put you in a fork in the road, puzzles, but he's not going to answer you unless you ask. So I asked, and Yahweh went, so once I asked, he said, so you're saying that since you've been so obedient, your life shouldn't get harder. Right? It should stay easy. That's why I'm obedient, is what I'm thinking. I'm obedient. I'm not sinning. I'm not rebelling. You've done a great job, both you guys, with homeschools and stuff, staying away from the sins of the world. And every once in a while, all of a sudden, wait a minute. And here it was, my life should be easy because I'm obedient. And then the revelation went, Aaron, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing. If you don't have adversity or things that go over, you can't produce faith. To have an easy life where you never have a trial, you're never going to produce faith. Christ is at the right hand of Yahweh. What's his job? To get me to do what? Produce faith.
like Veronica flying here twice. That's a lot of faith.
Yeah.
And so in my life, what happened was, you get to learn, and hopefully what I want to paint a picture is, the purpose of your life and my life is to produce faith. Proverbs 17:3, if you guys would turn there, I think it's page 622. 17, chapter 17 of Proverbs. So when you rebel and you're doing things wrong, and all of a sudden, hey, it's time to pay the piper. What did you think was going to happen? You didn't do any of your homework? Now you got a test? You know, when I was in high school, I would get distracted. Veronica didn't know me in high school, neither did you guys, but I really like to talk to people. I like people. And I got it, probably my brother also. And every once in a while, you get shocked that the teachers want you to take a test. Or your homework. Whoa! What is this test thing? In my mind, hey, high school is about meeting friends, hanging out. You go into class, here's that guy, there's that. I don't like that guy. Hey, teacher, he's pretty cool. And all of a sudden, they go, you got a test. A test? And so a lot of my life has been, for a good student, you should be expecting tests in our lives. If somebody would read chapter 17, verse 3 for me.
Verse 3?
Yeah.
Finding pot for silver, crucible for gold, but he that trieth hearts is Yahweh.
The word that trieth the heart. So remember, that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of Yahweh. And there is no way to the Father except through this Son, Christ Jesus, or Yehoshua HaMashiach. He is running everything. When he died on the cross and he was resurrected, what did he get? He was exalted like Joseph to Pharaoh. Now he's running everything. Now his job for us is to get us to do what? Produce faith. And Yahweh does what to the heart? He trieth. This Hebrew word for that trieth is H974, I believe. Bahan, I believe how you say it, but it is to examine or to prove. It's to test. To test you. Do you really love me? We'll see. Your dad comes to you and goes, you're strong, right? Yeah. All right, let's go. Wait, where are we going? We're going to go move some furniture. Or a woman might say to a guy, do you really love me? Yeah. Why? I need you to do something. And that's the test, is to produce something. Or a parent with a child. We're leaving for the weekend. Don't do anything stupid. The parents leave, and you're being tested. But Yahweh is testing us. Not that he's setting you up to go, aha. So it is to refine you, to make you pure cotton. Where does it come from? It comes from a plant, and it's just these balls of white, and it's refined, and they spin it, and they wash it, and then they bleach it. And look how useful it is once it's been used. The purpose of your existence is to be tested and to be refined and to hone for Yahweh to get more out of you, to get more faith out of you, and then when Christ comes back, you'll be ready for the job. This whole life is like going to university. What job do you want? Veronica got a chemical engineering degree. It's 8 years of college. It's a lot of discipline. It's a lot of work. I went to school for 5 years for pretty much a physical education degree. What kind of income are you going to get as a PE teacher?
Much.
There's not many PE teachers. How many PE teachers are there in a whole school? Like one. Okay, so if you were to compare the two, you're not going to get a whole lot with that degree, Aaron, right? But if I did 8 years, what kind of income should you expect for 8 years? How about a doctor? My neighbor is a physician, probably 12 years of college. And she probably makes 10 times more. But the purpose of this life is to be tested, to be refined, to be proved, so for our job in the next life.
some examples of tests and proving is Abraham was called out of the city. He lived in a city with his wife. Where was he going? Hebrews 11 says Yahweh never told him where he's going. Can you imagine being told to go to the airport? Okay, where are we going? Just go to the airport. Do I need a passport? Do I need big luggage? Do I need a jacket? Follow me. Who else said, follow me? What did Jesus Christ tell Peter? Pedro. Follow me. Where are we going? Pedro, follow me. Yahweh did that to Abraham in the walled city. And where did Abraham go? He's in a desert. Who's protecting him? He's in a tent. We watched the ghost in the darkness of two lion man-eaters in Africa. And there was a scene in it where a lion gets hungry, rips a hole, grabs a guy by his foot, and takes off running with him. Okay, would you want to sleep where lions could do that to you? That's what Abraham was called to do, him and his wife. Where did he go? He wandered. Who else wandered like this? Moses. Here he was. And where did Moses, where was he going? Wherever the fire went. And for 40 years he did that. And Abraham, Yahweh called him out and said, come, follow me. Yahweh did the same thing to Moses in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, excuse me, 3. Yahweh says, come here, Moses. This burning bush. Moses is looking at a bush that's on fire. What in the world's going on? Then Yahweh goes, come here. Well, where are we going? And so that was voluntary following. So sometimes we go to Yahweh, we volunteer, and we go. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because Abraham was asked to offer his son to put him as an offering. Was that easy? No. It was not easy. Was it worth it? Absolutely. And so did he have to actually kill his son? No. But did Abraham do anything wrong to go through that test? No, he did things right.
Yeah.
And if we could look at Abraham's life to go, we should be ready for a test to not necessarily offer our son up, to say, do you love me enough to quit drawing? Stop working out. Do you love me enough to never read a book? Or lay in your bed, or whatever it is. Mom loves laying in her bed reading, and whatever. What is the most valuable thing you have? And you know what you can do with coaching when somebody's afraid of something. A child's afraid of some darkness in a closet. What do? You get the kid up. You go over to the closet. Turn on the light. Right. You confront the fear. What are you afraid of losing? And so you could kind of confront it to say, what am I afraid of? Your children, your family, things being split, whatever the thing is, and go, would you do it for Yahweh? That'd be hard. Okay. What would happen if Yahweh asked you to do something like that? Would he reward you and make it worth your while? Better than anything you could ever imagine. Aha. And when we started doing that, instead of waiting for Yahweh to give us a pop quiz, come here. Oh, he's talking to me. We're ready to say, what do you want from me? And that was Abraham and Moses. Moses was like, I'll do whatever you want. Go kill that guy. All right. That would have been Samuel too, Agag or whatever. Abraham and Moses, when Moses went to the burning bush in Exodus 3, that was voluntarily. Now, what's really, I found is neat, is Jacob. Jacob, he goes to a place called Bethel. So there's a place, the house of El, like three different times. The first time Jacob goes to Bethel is because somebody's going to kill him. Do you guys remember who?
His brother.
He was hairy and he was red. He's red, but not hairy. So I call it. But his brother's going to kill him. And so his mom says, send him off to Laban to go get married. So why did Jacob have to leave? Well, because he lied to his brother, or lied to his dad. Why did he lie to his brother?
His mother told him.
He was told to. His prophesied.
His mom told him to. And why did she? Because she was prophesied in Genesis 25. Yahweh told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. And Isaac, who was going to mess it all up and bless Esau, make the younger serve the older. And Rebecca tells Jacob, you get in there. Wait a minute, Mom, why don't you go in there? And every once in a while, you're going to be called to do that. So Jacob is obedient. Now what is he doing? He's running for his life. And he is at Bethel. And he sleeps. He sees Jacob's ladder or staircase. He sees Yahweh. He sees angels coming down. And he goes, I did not know this is Yahweh. Or he would have said Elohim is in this place. And he puts a pillar of Bethel. But the thing is, in the scriptures, have we ever seen Jacob or Jacob honor Yahweh before that? No.
It
appears he's about 60 years old too. So the first time, a parent's job, at least my mother and my father, is to raise their kids around the word, around discipline, but their hope is you start doing it on your own. You came to fellowship by yourself. You passed that test. My dad, when I was growing up, he said, do you want to go to a fellowship with me? Not really. But I want to be in good light with my dad, and I'll go. And so I passed those tests. So the real test is going to be not when you... I'm not going to say this is how it was with Jacob, but Jacob was serving Isaac's God and Abraham's God. Was it his own God yet? We don't know. He was doing it. It's like a kid that says they're a Baptist or a Catholic and they go to that church. Now when they're 25, they go to college. Are they going to still go to church? And the parents wonder, is he your God? And so for all of us, so with Jacob, was Yahweh Jacob's God yet? We don't know. But the first time we see Jacob hitting his knees going, he sees it, he sees a staircase, and he goes, this is Elohim. All that it would appear he now has a connection. Like Abraham did at different times, like Moses did, and he goes, you are my God, and if you prosper me, I will do this and I will do that. He makes that connection. You younger people, you'll have a choice. And you'll see that with Christians. Sometimes they'll rededicate themselves in their 20s or something. And I really don't know if I was probably 25 or 26. They go, no, I'm serious about this. But then Jacob runs to Bethel. Why? Why did he see the staircase? Somebody's trying to kill him. Have you ever had anybody try to kill you for being obedient?
Well, not for
being. I'm gonna kill you. To his marathon. What? What'd I do? I obeyed. Okay. The next time Jacob goes back to Bethel is when? He leaves his father-in-law, who said he could have killed him. It's the guy he works for. Can you imagine Joe Thrush, your boss, goes, you know I can kill you, but I'm not going to kill you. Thanks. Such a nice guy. And where is Jacob going? He's going to where Esau is. Why? Yahweh asked him to go. And if you read what happens to Jacob, he's going,
this guy.
He wrestles with God. And he's like, here I am. What am I doing here? I have to split my camp. Esau is coming to kill me. He's got an army. 400 people. He splits his whole family up. Does that sound like a test? Does that sound like a trial?
That's scary.
How would you like it if your dad told you to go home and Elijah's coming to kill you, Isaiah? What? Yeah. Just nothing personal. Your brother's going to come and kill you. Why? You want the fellowship. You obeyed. But at that point, Jacob goes back to Bethel. He's back on his knees and he goes, Yahweh, I'm obeying you. And what happens? Is he blessed? He gets blessed. Esau doesn't kill him. Something changes. And then the next time Jacob goes to Bethel is when his daughter Dinah is raped and two of his sons murder Sechem and the whole camp, and then they rob him. You say, hey, if this was just like an honor killing, it's one thing. But when you rob them, that's not an honor killing. And Jacob goes, we just moved into this town. We're living on Sechem's land. And now my sons murder these people. What's going to happen to them? Jacob said, we're all going to die. Guess where Yahweh told him to go?
Desert.
Bethel. Go back to Bethel. It could be your Kansas City, your IHOP. This is where we talk. He goes back there, and guess what Yahweh does? He puts the fear of all the rest of the people. They're too scared to attack Jacob. Why? Because of Yahweh. But Jacob was made dependent. I need you. I need you. And in Jacob, with these things, those are tough situations. But to need Yahweh and to need Jesus Christ is not a punishment.
Yeah.
It's a reward. He takes you places that you need Him. Come with me. And what happened to Jacob? Was he blessed?
Yeah.
He was blessed above anything. Names changed to Israel. The whole country's named Israel. And what is also neat, I didn't know this until this teaching, Moses had to flee Egypt. Why?
Murder.
He killed an Egyptian. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and the word beating in Hebrew is killing. It could be killing. Moses has to kill this guy. Why? An Israelite, he saves an Israelite's life. Is that loving your neighbor as yourself if you save somebody's life from being murdered from an evil person? Mm-hmm. If somebody's trying to rape her or kill her and you have to kill him, is that justifiable?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Moses does what is right, what would honor Yahweh, and what happens to him? He has to flee for his life, just like who?
Jacob.
Moses, is he ready to talk to Pharaoh? Yes, he went to Pharaoh's university. He was raised in Pharaoh's university, 40 years. Did Moses know the politics, how to speak, do these things? Absolutely he did. But then Yahweh's like, I need you out here. And so he's fleeing for his life, probably the end of the world. Did he take any of his wealth with him?
No.
And Yahweh made him dependent upon him. And then Moses also works for his father-in-law. Jacob, who did he have to work for?
His
father-in-law. And what was Jacob? A shepherd. What was Moses? A shepherd. And what's another neat thing about Abraham, where did his wealth come from? It didn't come from his dad. It came from Yahweh. Jacob was going to inherit all this money. But he didn't get that money. He had to make his own money. He had to become... So you see, Yahweh didn't want his dad's money to become his God. Because if your dad's got a lot of money, I don't need help. He's rich. Mm-hmm. And Moses also goes broke, possibly. It specifically says in Hebrews, he did not participate in the sins. And so did he have money? Probably. But now he's broke, in my words. He's got nothing but his sandals, baby. And what does he do? He has to build his own business. He is dependent upon who? Yahweh for 40 years. He could be calling you, he is calling Veronica away from her home, away from her language. That's scary stuff. This to be tested and tried. I've never had anything to do with that. Anything like that. But what kind of rewards are going to happen if you're obedient? It gives you the desires of your heart. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 43. So we looked at Isaac. The dependency of Isaac is interesting because Abraham's called away from his father's homeland. His father comes with him. His nephew comes with him. Where is Abraham going to get his wealth? It appears that he becomes a very successful... We know he gets very successful being obedient, but he could have been somewhat successful. But he gets his own army. He's got enough people to have an army to go get Lot when Sodom and Gomorrah, or the Sodom and the whole area, is pillaged. So he's got it. So how successful is he? He's really successful. How did he do that? He did it by becoming obedient to Yahweh. When I went to college, and ever since I was a little kid, I had a suit. I always had suits and ties. And I just knew that I wanted to work for my dad. And in my mind, what I wanted... I remember having a talk with my dad once. I was getting ready to graduate from college. He's like, so what are you going to do when you graduate? I'm not going to be a PE teacher. And I went, I'm going to work for you. Well, because if I work for my dad, he's going to take care of me, right? And my dad's like, no, you're not. I don't want you to work for me. I'm like, you're supposed to take care of me. Right now, Pharaoh's brother's giving her a job. It's really not it's not for like income and stuff, but still, he's kind of taking care of you. And my dad had taken care of my mom and dad taking care of me. Went to college. I'm living in their house, and I'm like, what do you mean you're not going to give me a job? He goes, but I'll help you start your own business. This sounds like a pep talk. I don't want to start my own business. I want you to take care of me. And it was Yahweh through my dad going, have you start your own shepherd. And you become dependent on me. Yahweh does, if you get a job at Boeing, you get a job at some other places, all of a sudden I got pension, you can't fire me, I'm in the union, I got no stress, who's your God? It's your job. And so Yahweh called them out and called me out also. In Genesis, now we're going to look at two people, Reuben and Judah. Now for the sake of brevity, I'll skim through most of this because I... At the beginning, I turn to Genesis chapter 37. If you got a page number, go ahead.
Page 68.
Thank you. In chapter 37, Joseph is sent, which you can imagine, Joseph, when you're sold into slavery, you made a mistake. How did I get here? What did I do wrong? He's in a pit. Verse 21. And they're going to... Okay, so they cast him into a pit. Who speaks up? Verse 21. And Reuben heard it and rescued him out of their hands. How many brothers are there? There's 12 tribes. Benjamin's not here. Joseph is one. So there's 10 brothers against one. Because Benjamin's not in the picture. Yeah. He's too little, or he might not have been born. So Reuben hears it, rescues him out of their hand, and said, let us not kill him. Don't smite him. So as to take his life. And Reuben said unto them, do not shed his blood, cast him into the pit. Reuben here is trying to buy time. Put him in a pit, and I'm going to come and get him later. Cast him into the pit in the wilderness, but do not put forth a hand against him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to the father. Let's see here. Later on, Reuben's going to... Oh, yeah. Now, verse 26. He's in the pit. What does Judah say? Would somebody read that for me?
So Judah said unto his brethren, what profit that we slay our brother and conceal his blood?
Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, but let not our own hand be upon him. For our own brother, our own flesh is he, and his brethren hearkened. Who sells him? Whose idea? Judah. Who appears to be the only good brother here?
Reuben.
Reuben's going to start off really good. He's not going to end good. Judah, you kidding me? Sell your brother? Okay. He's going to start off very poor. But through the next couple of chapters, Judah transforms. Through tests, just like Bethel, over and over again. And how is he going to be tested? Joseph. What's interesting is when Joseph, when he's working for Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife is trying to have sex with him. Did you guys know that Potiphar was a eunuch? Yeah, so there's a word, they don't translate it. Potiphar had no testicles. He was like Daniel. He could not have sex with his wife. Does that paint another picture about this wife? She can't have sex with her husband. Joseph's great looking. Satan's working inside this woman. Do you know why Daniel and a lot of these guys have their testicles removed? Because they're going to be around women.
They'll be around the...
With Hadassah and Esther, the guys that are going to take care of the women, pull your pants down. Do you think Joseph was afraid of possibly getting his testicles cut off? You're working for a eunuch. She's got the hots for me. Hey, you can fix that really easy with Potiphar. Now, I'm just a short digression. Joseph's going, hang in there, boys! Manasseh and Ephraim are coming one of these days. But, you know, Judah talks about killing him. Not killing him, but sells him for 20 pieces. In 43 verse 8. Let me see. I'm going
to... Page 75.
What did I tell you guys?
42, 8.
Verse 8. The 43 verse 3 first. We're just going to look at how many brothers are there?
Well,
no,
there.
There's no Benjamin yet. Benjamin's back with the dad. Okay? So you have 11 with Joseph. And guess whose name is going to keep popping up?
Judah.
Whose names were popped up in the Gospels the most out of the 12? Pedro, Juan, and Santiago. Santiago? James. James of Santiago. Why did those three popped up? They're volunteering over and over again. You see him over and over again. It appears Judas sold Jesus Christ for envy. Maybe that was why. Judah starts off with envy, and guess whose name starts popping up everywhere? Judah. It's like he starts turning into a Peter, James, and John, which hopefully this will give all of us an example that we can start being refined like Judah. So it's something to read verse 3, then we're going to read verse 8. So 43 verse 3.
Then spake Judah unto him, saying, the man did protest to us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother is with you.
Who speaks up? Judah. He's at his dad. He goes back to his dad, and he's going, they took Simeon. Simeon's gone, and Joseph goes, what? Joseph, my dad pointed this out. Could Yahweh have told Israel that Joseph was okay? He's okay. Like, hey, he's in Egypt. Your son's doing great. Relax.
Yeah.
He's okay. Could he have told him that? Could he have sent an angel to Israel? And Israel go, oh, is Israel a prophet? Yeah, he's a prophet. Yahweh could have said, he's okay. Your brother sold him into slavery. Which is a whole other thing. Did his sons fear Yahweh? When you sell a brother, your dad is a prophet, and you sell your brothers into slavery, do you have any fear of Yahweh? No, Yahweh is not their God yet. Then somebody read 43 verse 8.